My scriptures are from the Gospel of Luke. And so, this is the pre-Christmas message. It's part of it, but it's the early part. And it has to do with two miraculous pregnancies. God was good at causing pregnancies to occur. I've seen it in India several times where people couldn't have any children and God gave them children. He's really good at what seems to be the impossible because he is the possible. A little bit of history about Angel Gabriel or Gabriel. There are only three people that he spoke to in the Word. One of them was Daniel, and that was back in 538 B.C. And he prophesied that the Messiah would be put to death. And now we have the same angel prophesying to Elizabeth and Zechariah that a son was going to come to them. Then he prophesied to Mary that a son would be born to she and Joseph. And the interesting thing about this is the King James talks about Mary and Elizabeth being cousins. So I did a little history, not maybe as detailed as my precious sister down here that's really dug even deeper than I have, because it's a fantastic study of going back to the roots of these two and who God used to bring John the Baptist and Jesus into this world. Jesus always was with the Father, but he brought him into this world, incarnated him into Mary's womb. But just the fact that the way this is written, so it's going to be a lot of scripture, but I'm just going to read it and not ad-lib a whole lot because I want you to see a few key things. But the ancestry, Mary's ancestors and Joseph's. Mary was of the tribe of Judah. Joseph was of the house of David. Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi. And Zechariah's ancestors were of the priesthood of Abijah. And so Judah and David, it wasn't uncommon for those marriages to be allowed under the law. And they often married. I found that was one exception to the law that the tribes weren't supposed to intermarry. But Judah and Levi did. And that's why Jesus qualifies to be our high priest also, because it's like a priesthood. And it's just some interesting history. But what I'd like to go to now is actually where the Word of God picks up with the angel coming, Gabriel coming to scriptures in starting with chapter 5. And he's going to talk to Zechariah. I have the King James, so if you just go to Luke, we'll be in chapter 1. This is going to be in two sections. Elizabeth and Zechariah first, because that's the order that it came in the scriptures. And also, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. So I put his life in there too, because it's of great importance to know where he came from, how he was conceived, and what his ministry was that followed, and why Jesus so loved him. And was so sad at John the Baptist's demise in the end. But he gave his life for the sake of the gospel. So we'll start with Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. And we'll go from there. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was yet barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. It kind of sounds like Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? Very aged and had no children all the way to the way last part of their lives. The time when you're thinking about just being happy grandparents and just having the freedom, your kids are all gone and out of the house, and you know, their family's just getting started. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so this was his job in the temple, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of the incense. So incense and prayer have always been connected throughout Scripture. Sometimes you might come in here and I just light some and I just walk around and pray with the incense. I don't know, I just, no particular reason. I just love the scent and I like the word picture. It's almost like as the fragrance and the smoke rises up from the incense, it's like our prayers are a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And I get these, you saw the Lamb on the throne. Well, I see things like that in the spiritual realm. I know that smoke isn't going all the way to heaven, but it's like our prayers. When they leave our mouths, they rise and they go. And I know that was probably exactly the image that God wanted to create even in the temple. And they assigned a priest for that particular duty. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, verse 11, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Always there's a reference to people, the Holy Spirit is telling them, don't be afraid when you see an angel, but I can tell you that it seems that they have the exact opposite effect. Their appearance is so unlike creatures that we would see in our natural lives. I mean, can you imagine standing with somebody with six wings stinging out of his back? Or four, you know, depending on the rank of the angelic realm. And the four that are on this property are taller than a two-story building, and several people have seen them. I've not. But both people that testified of seeing them have verified that exact same, and they described them, how they were standing and what they were, had in their hand. It's an absolutely phenomenal thing. So he told Zechariah, fear not, for your prayer is heard, and your wife... Ah, this is interesting. Here's another connection. I just saw that Zechariah must have been praying for a child. Read that again. Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So many times I've read that, and I thought he was praying for a lot of other stuff because that was his duty at burning incense in the temple. But I don't know if it maybe was just a desire of his heart that he not die until he had someone to carry on the family, to carry on the name, because it always follows through the father. And it's a very real possibility. That's a Rick speculation. I can't say the Lord told me that's what was going on. But as a father and as a grandfather now, I can see very much how it's in the heart of a father to want a son to carry on the family. And that might have been his desire in all these years. This was going on because it says they were of an older age. And you shall, and his name shall, you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. This is another little tidbit of information. Nowhere in other places in the scripture have I seen that someone was filled with the Holy Spirit from before they were born. When you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit, and we understand that. But here was a special anointing, if you will, of the Lord for the call of God that was going to be on John. And we know, of course, John the Baptist was born, and he was the forerunner and preached the gospel of repentance before Jesus came, which wasn't too much longer after that. Filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. John was going to be the one like a compass to point them to Christ as the Messiah. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are we living in a John the Baptist generation, you think, maybe now? Preparing one another for the coming of the Lord again? The second coming of the Lord? I think it's a very prophetic word even for today, because this world is falling apart around us faster than we can breathe, it seems like. And the only answer to all of it is for the Lord to return. Oh, I said I wasn't going to do that, and I just did it. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And I told you about the nursing home scene. You don't usually see people in the nursing home having children in their old age. This is a very unusual thing, and it was very miraculous. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these things, these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words. So the Lord shut his mouth so that he weren't going to go running out before the time. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we get a word, we want to run with it. I do. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried long in the temple. He went past his incense time. Something was taking place in there, but they couldn't go in there where he was. They were outside, and they noticed how much longer he was in the temple. See, people know how long we're here because they see when the parking lot's empty, we're finished. It's kind of like there's no time limit, but, you know, we can tell when we're getting near and we've been a longer time. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Priscilla, you wouldn't have any problem with that because you could tell everybody what happened. Isn't that cool? How you can communicate? Because if he couldn't speak, you don't have to speak to sign. And he could tell them, but he didn't have the gift that you have.
Even if he did, I'm sure that God
mixed up the words. Yeah, confuse him. Oh, my. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after these things, his wife Elizabeth conceived after those days and hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Was the reproach that she had no children yet and lived to be a really aged... Is that true, Barbara? It was... Okay, so it was a reproach, her witness, about not having any children. Okay. So for 5 months, she hid herself away. So now she's 5 months pregnant. Now, here we go with the next instance. And in the sixth month... That then, so now she would have been 6 months pregnant. And now Gabriel comes again. He's sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. See, here's the mind again. The mind wants to undo a reason with what God sent the angel to tell her. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. This is the angel still speaking. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which you shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So we have two infillings of the Holy Spirit before somebody was born again. And I just think things like that, never underestimate what God can do, and also the power of the Holy Spirit. And she spoke with a loud voice and said, Blessed are, this is Elizabeth prophesying now, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, and then this goes into what we normally would read more detailed in the actual Christmas message with Jesus being born. But I wanted to do a little history, especially with the angels and the supernatural births of both of these, about John the Baptist first, and then Jesus, because sometimes we go immediately to the scriptures that we know, like just like Charlie Brown's Christmas. And Linus, when he's talking about when the angel said, Fear not, Linus dropped his blanket down. That's the only time in all the Charlie Browns where Linus put his blanket down, because he knew that he did not have to be in fear anymore, because it was an angel of the Lord and the word was true that the angel brought. And so for people who doubt, we have the word. And these are real people, and you can go back in history and search them and find them. To me, at one time in my life, Christmas was the day I didn't have to work and I could party. You know, I didn't even think about these things. I didn't even ponder them. They didn't even enter my thinking. But I remember the first Christmas after I got saved. I got saved in March. And so when Christmas came that December, it was a whole different Christmas. And Faith got saved 3 days before me. So we had a chance to grow in our faith together as a couple. And that doesn't happen with a lot of people. That was rather miraculous for us. And so that's where that Christmas tree thing that I wrote, the Christmas tree, I saw the cross as God's Christmas tree, and the gift on the tree was Jesus. And that was what inspired that writing to this day. That's where that came from. That was in the first Christmas that I wrote that as a believer. The gift on my father's Christmas tree. Anyway, that's the prelude to the rest of the story this evening in a beautiful setting. And I can tell you, the decorations are just absolutely impeccable, because when you see this place at night, just in candle lights and a few lights in the front on the music stands and one on Jesus, because it's all about Jesus, it's a whole different atmosphere in here, and it is just marvelous.